we present Simon Cadell as Sir Ben and David Googe as the Major in Rogue Mail, the novel by Geoffrey Household, dramatised for radio by Frederick Brenham.
Standing where we are, lad, there's an echo. It bounces off the cliff. Now listen. Hello! Hello!
I'm not allowed to do that, am I, Unterschaffuhrer?
I'll roast you if you do, soldier. So, now you begin your first day on guard duty at the residence of our beloved Führer. And you remember every moment of it.
I shall, Unterschaffuhrer. Does the Führer ever come out into the garden?
He does. And on a fine day such as this, he probably will. Sometimes he walks his dog. Sometimes stands deep in thought, looking out over the Reich.
He has a great view, Unterschaffuhrer.
The eagle's nest view, safe as any fortress. Can you see how any unauthorized person could get near? Use your eyes now.
The open rides separate the birch coppices. No cover there.
Mm-hmm.
Open ground around the cliff. Mm-hmm. There are some bushes growing on the cliff's ledges. Then there's the path I patrol and the lawn going up to the house.
No cover, you see. And if some lunatic went about things at night, where would he hide up at daylight?
There is nowhere.
All right. Now, is your Luger loaded? Well, show me. Good. Back in the holster with it. How long should your patrol take?
14 minutes each way, Unterschaffuhrer.
Right. You'll be relieved after your sixth patrol. So on your way, in your own time.
14 minutes. 14. This ledge is damned uncomfortable. 14 minutes and he'll be out of sight for 10. Gives me time enough. Top of the cliff, 500 feet to the lawn, when the Führer obliges. Here comes our young soldier lad. Fine looking boy. Death's head badges. Just above my head now. Stops. Looks round. You won't see me, boy. But you feel something, don't you? Good for you. Off you go, down to the ride. And I'm out of your sight for 10 minutes. Good God. The great man himself. The beloved Führer. By himself, walking slowly across the lawn towards me. Up and over into the bracken. Steady, tripod, aim, set the sight. 500, yes. Safety catch down. The V of his waistcoat. At 500. Come on. Come on. The V of his...
Stop! Stop! Don't move, or I will shoot.
You're 7 minutes early. 7 minutes early.
I turned back. I knew.
That was your shooting eye, sir. I know.
What's the matter, soldier? Want to be sick?
Please, I must go.
Clear off, then. Out you go.
What a pity you turned back, soldier.
He'll get a stomach for it in time. Now we must wait for the Obersturmbannführer.
Where did you learn to speak our language so well?
Would it help you to believe my story if I told you?
Your story is so hard to believe, it could be true.
A sporting stork, you call it. Hunting big game.
God, he's not a pretty sight, is he?
Sturmbannführer.
The body.
You went stalking big prey, Sir Ben, and you lost.
Here's the place. It'll be dark in an hour. So, until the morning. Has he passed out?
Seems so. Do we just drop him over?
No. It must look as if he tried to save himself.
So we must lower him over.
All but his hands. So he hangs on for dear life. Wake up, Sir Ben. You're going to die.
I know.
Down you go. Down.
Hang on. That's right. It's 30 meters down.
And you'll hit the rocks.
Let him go. Hanging on will perhaps account for the poor state of his fingers. Better hunting in the next world, Sir Ben. Let's go.
Life. Why does the rabbit try to outrun the stone? A few seconds more of life. Impossible to give up until my hands give way. Going. Falling. God have mercy.
Oh, my soul!
I must be dead. This is consciousness after death. The hypnagogic state between life on earth and death.
Oh.
But I still feel pain. Am I a pulp? Is this foul mess around me? Myself? Pulped. I can taste blood. This isn't the afterlife. I hope. Oh. Not the afterlife. I can see again. Just. Above me is the crevice. I'm in a bog, a marsh ground, in mud. Can I get out? There are tufts of grass, a scree of rocks. Try. Try. Yes. Moving. Hurting. But moving. Out. Out.
Made in Bond Street, London, by Fowler's. A beautiful rifle. And the telescopic sight is perfect. He would not have missed.
He would have killed the Fuhrer?
A large bullet, high velocity. He was a fine shot. How could he have missed?
Then the fate of the Reich.
One Englishman playing a game. A deadly stalk. It would have changed everything. Who can replace the Fuhrer? But fate was on the Fuhrer's side and not the Englishman's.
Are we to check his body, Obersturmbann Fuhrer?
I have been ordered by Gruppenfuhrer Heydrich to recover his body. We shall tell the world that he fell when out shooting. That's more or less the truth.
We must take a large stretcher. His body will be broken up.
Yes. Oh, and I shall have to hand this rifle over to those who come for the body.
Body of mud crawling. Mud man crawling by a stream. Surrealist painting. Real. Real. Mud heels. Crawl. Up and down. Up.
down. Here, I'm near enough to the large trees. If I can grab a branch, if I have the strength to lift myself up, I mustn't use my legs, I mustn't leave a sign. God, give me strength.
I've done it.
Hold on. Now, slowly up the tree. Up and up. Ah, can use my legs now. Up we go. Ah, to the fork. Up there. The fork. Got it. Now, I'm jammed nicely. Now, I can faint.
The dogs are training him. Up and down the stream, nowhere else. Shall I drag the stream, Herr Obersturmbahn Führer?
What's the point? The stream would have taken him kilometers away by now.
But there are pools. He may have drifted into a pool.
Or drag a pool or two if you like.
Yes, Herr Obersturmbahn Führer.
A blast. He had the devil's luck.
If that marsh had been shown on the map.
But from the height we dropped him, he shouldn't have lived, not even falling into a marsh.
But he did. The tracks show he was crawling. Let's hope his bones are broken. Let's hope he rolled into a stream and wasn't rescued by a mermaid.
Obersturmbahn Führer, do you think he went into the large wood?
Well, he didn't leave a trail if he did. Why did he crawl up and down? Was he crazy?
Well, after what he went through, if he fell on his head...
He'd have broken his neck. Let's hope he's drowned. Let's go. The Politra can carry on with the good work without us.
Speed 2 miles an hour. With a halt every half an hour, but I can walk. Painful, but everything I do is painful. I need a new pair of trousers. I shall be arrested in these. I heard them from my tree, but they didn't search the wood. Probably think I drowned, but they'll look for the body. And then go on looking. I must follow this stream to the great river, and by night a stream can be followed. Listen. What's going on? Near enough. Crawl to see. Nude bathing by moonlight. Trousers.
Give it the card. Oh, yes.
I'm getting out. This water's too cold for me.
Poor hand. Don't
look at me, shit about me.
Well, I've got to warm you up, Hans. See how he runs.
Where's my trousers? And clouses. Oh. And gloves. Hey, someone speak. Not trousers.
Not a bad bet. Whoever they were, I hope they find the other pairs. If I remember rightly, there's a man I once knew living near here. There's the village light. His house was this side on the outskirts, isolated. He may still be there. A good man, no Nazi, hated them. I'll find somewhere to lie up near the house. Try him at dawn.
Hello. Going fishing?
Yes.
Who are you?
I know you. It may be as well if you don't know me.
God almighty. Not Ben, aren't you?
Yes. My hands also. See?
So you're in trouble.
I don't think anyone knows that I'm alive, but you.
Come inside. I'm alone these days. And there's no one about at this hour.
Food? You look starved.
Thanks, yes, something I've been living from the land. I need to clean up, too.
And some better clothes. Did you borrow the trousers?
From someone called Hans.
Sit down, then. Here's bread, butter, cheese, milk.
Old clothes, nothing that can be traced back. And if my eye looks as bad as it feels, an eye patch.
It's in a shocking state. I have an eye patch somewhere. Can you stay and rest up?
I wish I could, but I dare not. Not only for your sake. They may believe I'm dead, but until they find my body, you know that they'll go on looking, watching.
They will. And there's spies everywhere.
Mm. And have you some old washing and shaving kit to take with me?
Yes. What will you travel as?
I hadn't thought. What do you suggest?
You speak the language like an educated man. A schoolmaster. And you had an illness. The eye has to be kept covered.
Yes. And I'm taking a walking holiday. That'll do. The food tastes very good, but my stomach won't take too much.
I'll give you something to take with you. And you'll need a worn old rucksack.
And some large gloves?
I've plenty. You need them for fishing. I'll get things together for you. Where will you head? The river?
Yes, where I can get hold of a boat.
Money?
Plenty. They put all my things back on me, including my money belt and map, before they... If I can hire or buy a boat, then I'll go north through the ports. Then I should be able to find a ship going back home.
I take it no one saw you on your way here?
No, I'm sure not. I moved by night, hid up in your barn till I saw you come out. I'll leave tonight and after travel by day as a convalescing schoolmaster.
Chief of the Ortspolizei, Area 7 speaking. Yes, Herr Buschkommandführer. Yes. The Führer's safety. Yes. A man speaking excellent German. About 40, yes. 1.83 meters tall. Lean. Bruised right eye. Wears gloves, finger. Yes, yes, I understand. Straight away, Herr Buschkommandführer. Heil. Demeter, at once.
Yes, Chief?
Reports of the last 2 weeks.
All of them, Chief?
Yes, this is a matter of the Führer's safety.
The Führer's? At once, Chief?
Excellent German, so he's not German. Tall. Bruised eye, torn fingers, no nails. He's escaped from Gestapo custody, for the devil. Would his clothes be torn?
The reports, Chief.
Are there any reports of men's clothing being stolen?
From shops?
No, from clotheslines. A lover in a field losing his trousers.
It would come under stolen property. Things are quiet at present. Not many thefts. What about this? Hans Holtschmidt of Pfaffenhofen had his trousers stolen when bathing in the Ord 2 weeks ago.
Good. Excellent. At Pfaffenhofen, reports of suspicious persons? Anybody with a poor eye, wearing gloves?
I remember this coming in last week. Let me see. Yes, here it is. At Regensburg, a man with an eye patch claimed he was a schoolmaster wearing old clothes. Kept his hands covered.
Good. Why did he attract attention?
The report comes from a plainclothes creeper. The man had enough money on him to buy a boat. A 3-meter dinghy from Vakerli, the boatman.
Yes, we have eyes and ears everywhere these days. Do you wonder that there's so little crime? He bought a dinghy. Sail only?
The report mentions a red sail, but no motor.
So, he probably sailed downriver from Regensburg to the Rhine or the Elbe. I wonder where he's got to by now. But the SS Obersturmbannführer will be interested in our information, I'm sure.
Come in, sir, and shut the door. I'm the first officer of this ship. Vayner's my name. What can I do for you?
Here's my passport.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my eye patch off.
Whew. Somebody's had it in for you, Sir Ben.
They have, and I want to get far away from them.
If you want passage, I'll have to see the old man.
No, I don't want passage. I wouldn't want you or your captains to take the responsibility of giving me passage.
Yes, I've read about you, of course. You've upset the German authorities, have you, Sir Ben?
I have, no end. I've come down the river by boat. It took a couple of weeks, but it gave me a chance to heal up. They may believe I'm dead. They may have tracked me.
You're pretty conspicuous.
I know, and they're pretty efficient. But I'm sure no one saw me coming aboard, if anyone was watching. I need to get out, and I'll have to be a stowaway.
Hmm. Why did you come to this ship?
Oh, gossip in the docks bars. I heard that you were a good sort and no lover of the Nazi.
We're going home in ballast, so where can I put you?
Oh, I'm used to discomfort.
There's an empty freshwater tank which we've never used. It's about 10 feet by 10, 6 feet high. You've lived in worse places, I guess.
It sounds just the thing.
Everyone's on shore, but for the cook and myself. So now's the time. I'll organize a mattress, blankets. I should get the cook off the ship, though.
Yeah, I could do with a bottle of whiskey. Have the money.
Good. I'll send him for it.
When do you sail?
Tomorrow, midday.
And where do you dock?
We're going up the Thames to ones with docks. I'll send the cook off and then get you into the tank. You'll have to keep the top open a bit for air and shut it if anyone comes. And don't breathe.
Oh, I slept like a child. Thank you, Vena. Mattress, cushions, blankets. As good as the Ritz any day. What's the time? 8. Vena will smuggle some breakfast in. We'll be sailing in a few minutes.
I have questions.
Right you are. Far away.
Fire?
Ask a question.
Is this the ice-shaded man you say came on deck?
He came on board, I told you, Obersturmführer. He wanted passage. I said nothing doing. He scarpered.
He what?
He left.
He was the Englishman, yeah?
He spoke good English, yes. I didn't ask for his passport.
Writing to him, no sailing, no good.
It's a matter of principle. We don't take on passengers. They're a nuisance. On hook.
Did he have, handschuhen?
Gloves. Just now you asked me, he did. And he kept them on.
Did he speak of where he was moving?
Going? No. I told him to try one of the liners.
You saw him go off the ship?
I went with him. The captain doesn't like stowaways.
You are helpful. We will no longer search.
I'll make him right. I'll help.
Vena here, Sir Ben. Got to be quick.
I heard everything, of course. He even leant against the tank. You were very convincing.
He was a plain-clothes creepo. Nasty type. So, they traced you to the docks.
That was always a possibility in a country where spying on your neighbour is the thing to do.
We're outside territorial waters now. If they didn't believe me, or thought you'd got back on board somehow, they may be waiting at Wandsworth Docks. I'll look around on my dock.
Thanks. I owe you a great deal.
You must go now. See you at Wandsworth Docks. There's a man on the dock side with binoculars. Could be a bird watcher, but I don't think so.
I'm sure you're right, Vena. They've not found me at any of their own ports, so they'll be watching here. And wherever I might go.
Let's throw them off the scent for the moment, though. You'd better not go through the main gate. I'll put the ship's dinghy under the starboard quarter. It'll be dark in 10 minutes.
Where should I row to?
Go straight across the Thames, and you'll get to the public steps, by the Hurlingham Club. I'll collect the dinghy later.
Thanks. You've been a brick, Vena. I shan't forget.
You're a brave man, Sir Ben. Good luck.
London, here I come. Thank the Lord. When I land, where to? Not my club. Got to keep away from my usual haunts. Cheap Kensington Hotel would be best. Must see an eye specialist. Make up a story for him. Stop rowing. Look. See? Can't see anyone. Can hear the hum of traffic. See the soft lighting between the London plane trees. It all seems so peaceful. So safe. I could weep. But is it safe for me? I have to risk seeing Saul in the Kensington Fields. He has power of attorney. So I might have to disappear for a while. Here we are. The Hurlingham Steps. no one about. No. Well, young couple on the bench. Much too concerned with each other to notice me. Oh, I never thought I'd make it this far.
I'm glad to see you, Ben.
I'm glad to be here, Saul.
Why is your head bandaged?
It's the right eye. I saw a chap in Harley Street who treated it and told me to keep it bandaged for a few days.
I take it that you've been abroad.
Yes, all over the place.
Large gloves?
My hands were knocked about a bit, hanging onto a mountain ledge for dear life.
So, you're in some sort of trouble.
I am. And I need to disappear, Saul.
A man came to see me last week with some fictitious tale concerning, of all things, the Married Woman's Property Act. He looked the perfect military man, about your age, slim, fit-looking. He said he was a neighbour of yours in the West Country and was continually referring to you. He knew the sort of stuff about you which, well, he could have mugged up. Called himself Major Keeve Smith, a hyphen between the Keeve and the Smith.
I don't know him. Was he English?
Well, I thought so. Did you expect him not to be?
I'm not answering any questions, Saul. I can't.
Can't? Just one. Were you in the employ of our government?
No, it was my own business, but I have to disappear.
Well, can't you go to Scotland Yard? You'd be trusted. And knowing who you are, they keep things quiet.
I thought about that, but I doubt if they believe me. And if they did, then I could be disgraced.
It's bad as that, is it?
Yes. So I have to vanish, but here, in England. I need some money, as much of it as possible.
Well, you've 5,200 available at the bank.
5,000 will do.
I'll write a cheque for it. Send Peel with a letter. Shall we have lunch? Somewhere quiet?
I'd rather not leave here more than once.
Oh, like that, is it?
They're very professional, so.
Yes. Keeve Smith gave me that impression. I'll get Peel in. Oh, Peel, come in a moment, will you? Peel knows all the private detectives who are likely to be hanging around Lincoln's Inn. Divorce case nonsense, you know. He's on good terms with them, so if they're strangers...
Yes, sir?
Will you go to the bank, Peel? I've written a cheque.
Yes, sir.
Before you go, is there anyone taking an interest in our offices?
There's a tall, thin man who wears a dirty mac and pretends to feed the birds who's been in and out of the gardens for the past week. I'm reliably informed that he has a colleague in Newman's Row. The birdman has been using the nearest telephone box a lot this morning, sir.
Thanks, Peel. That's most helpful.
I'll be off to the bank, then. Well, I hope your head isn't too badly hurt, Sir Ben.
No, just the eye.
Makes you most conspicuous, you know. I'll be off, sir.
Conspicuous. Yes, I'm an easy target. They've seen me arrive here, that's for sure. I'll have to throw them off my trail.
You'd better eat. I'll set out for a cold bird and some beer. How are you going to keep the money?
I have a money belt. Have you a back door?
Heavens, no. But I'll get Peel to show you out into the little streets around the fields, so at least you'll get a good look at your hunters.
Yes.
Yes, the bird man is about 50 paces behind us, Sir Ben.
Anyone else?
Not that I can see. Holborn Tube Station, you said?
Yes, I should be able to shake them off there.
Yes, indeed. Holborn has two levels. No, not forgot three. There's the Piccadilly line and the Central line, both reached by escalators. Then there's the one stop line, back and to Aldwych Station. That's reached by a lift. Just one lift and an awful lot of stairs for when the lift is out of action. So, with a little chopping... across the road... just ahead. Major Keeve Smith.
Ah, yes. His trousers are too narrow. Not by much, but no decent English tailor would countenance such a thing.
He has a very English name, though.
Did he take you in, Beale?
Oh, no, sir, I'm afraid not. Not British military, for sure. And his English is too perfect. He could be a European military man, however. Dutch or German, probably.
Well done.
Take it you're not staying at your club, sir.
Oh, no, cheap hotel west. And I must lose them before I get back there.
Keeve Smith has preceded you into the tube station, I see.
Decent of him. Well, here we are.
Well, good luck, Sir Ben. Remember that Aldwych line, to and from. could be useful.
Thanks, Beale.
Mind the doors!
Yeah, just made it.
Frank's in the same carriage, Herr Major. I doubt whether Sir Ben even thought we'd have a chap going up and down on that line, just in case.
A boring job, Frank thought.
It shall become interesting once the train is in Aldwych and our Englishman is alone on the platform with Frank.
And if he goes up in the lift with the other passengers?
Then Frank follows him, and will shoot him once he's in the street. In a busy street like the Strand, he will be lost among the traffic and people in seconds.
The train will be getting into Aldwych Station in half a minute, Major.
We must wait here, Carl, in case he returns. But we should get him this time.
Aldwych! All change, Aldwych!
I don't like the look of you, blue flannel suit. Black hat, brown and white shoes. Go out. Go towards the exit. Yes. He's one of them. Hanging about on the platform, steer clear of him. He's gone out of sight. Waiting for me. Nothing for it but to nip down the tunnel. Mind the live rail. It's as dark as Hades. Get into a recess. Here. He's got a flashlight and a revolver. Here he comes. When he's next to me, get down. Cover his feet. Mind the light rail.
Got you, my friend!
Poor devil. What a place for a soul to find itself adrift in. Now, get out fast. Someone must have heard that scream.
Is he dead all right, Harry? I'll put the tunnel lights on.
Right, turn over stuff in. Come on.
Take it here. Take this damn bandage off. Up the stairs.
Right, Moses. There's a bloke on the line.
Across the tracks. I'll get the car turned off.
Right, and call the police. Been electrocuted, all right.
Dead man found on the line, revolver beside him. Man with bandaged head sought by police. I'll have to disappear a bit before I wanted to. Keep in the open. Where? Wimbledon Common. Tom Tancred, my old sergeant major, ranger on the common now. Has a nice cottage in the middle of the common. Tom won't ask questions. We'll take chances.
Morning, Sir Ben. You sleep all right?
Considering my conscience, Tom, soundly enough.
I went out for a paper. You've hit the headlines. Here.
Dead man found at Aldwych. Electrocuted. Fighting tunnel heard. Foul play suspected. Police anxious to interview a well-dressed, clean-shaven man about 6 feet in his early 40s. Wearing a bandage round his head. Seen leaving the station without the bandage. Has a bruised, blackened right eye. No mention of the revolver he was carrying.
And you're not 40 yet, are you?
Thanks, I feel 90.
Still, now you'll have every police force in the country looking for you.
They're not amateurs, Tom. I shall have to go to ground.
You'll need dark glasses with that eye. It's a beauty. I found a pair on the common the other day. Big lens, very dark.
Good, good, thanks. Can you take the day off?
Oh, you're in luck. Today is my day off.
Will you do some shopping for me at the Army and Navy in Victoria? I'll make out a list. I've got the money.
Yes, sir. Things for living in the open.
I might well have to go underground.
But not at Aldwych, I hope, sir. Sorry.
You'd better be. But I think I know where.
I'd like to know what fix you got in abroad.
It's best you don't know, Tom. Best no one knows. And when I've gone, watch your back for a couple of days.
I will.
They've the power of the state behind them. One is dressed up like a military man in civvies, calls himself Major Keeve Smith. If he appears riding the common, give him a wide berth.
I will. Now make out your list and I'll be off.
Right. I shall want sleeping bag, Antarctic for the use of, 4 thick flannel shirts, 2 pairs heavy cord trousers, 4 pants and vests, shellproof, bill hook, primer stove, and the best knife they've got.
Dorchester, St. Gabriel Station to Brantford, Dorchester.
Well, we're here at last, thank goodness.
Yes. When I took the slow train, I didn't think that...
We'd stop absolutely everywhere. Where are you staying?
Well, I haven't made up my mind. I'll scout around.
With that great roll of luggage, you look as if you could camp out.
Well, if this weather holds up, I might at that.
Do have my car.
Thank you.
If you don't camp out and you find the hotel full, I've plenty of room at the Grange since my husband died.
That's most kind of you.
Well, goodbye, and I do hope your poor eyes improve.
They will, I'm sure. Goodbye.
Remember, there's plenty of room.
Mrs. Helen Erskine, the Grange, Grange Road. Porter, will you take my stuff to the left luggage, please?
Where are you, Arthur?
Was Mrs. Erskine just what she seemed? Or would I wake up in her bed to find Keith Smith in the room? Not going to risk that, Mrs. Erskine. Sorry. Traffic is busy. Holiday season in full swing. What do I use to travel to the green haunts of Dorset? Car is no good, can't be hidden easily. It'll have to be a motorcycle. Who may have such a thing for sale? Try a pub for information.
Half a bidder, sir. That's 7 pence, if you please.
Well, here's a bob. Keep the change.
Thank you, sir. Are you visiting these parts?
Yes, I was thinking of touring around, if I can find some transport.
You want a nice old car, do you, sir?
Not really. Stuffy things, cars. I prefer a motorcycle, if I can find anyone prepared to sell me one.
Well, no, that is funny. I know old Haddon in the garage in Duck Lane has a motorbike with a sidecar. He wants £20 for it, though.
Well, sounds just the thing. I'll go and see him. Where's Duck Lane?
It's all go today, sir. Holiday week round here. There she be. You driven one before?
Yeah, a few years back in the army.
Oh, that's good, for they're tricky things, like with a sidecar. It got a bit of weight to put in it, have you?
I've some heavy luggage.
I used to put the wife in it, she weighs well. But now we've got an Austin tan.
It's taxed, I see. I've got an insurance.
Good. But can you see to drive proper, like, in those dark glasses?
In good light, yes.
Nasty things, eyes, when they get bad.
Yes, I've had an infection which is clearing up. £20, you said.
£20.
Here we are, 4 fivers.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll fill it with petrol for cash down.
Left-hand bends are tricky. They've taken too fast. I imagine the Met Police would have informed all forces about me. Dark glasses could attract attention. There's the River Croom. I'll sleep by that tonight. Tomorrow find the old Roman road. A cattle drove until a few years ago. It'll take a bike. It takes tractors. Take it to above Powerstock Village, then turn away over the country to the hidden green lane. Leave the bike and the sidecar by the stream. Overgrown with hawthorn, crab apple, blackthorn, Cecil oak. If I remember correctly, nothing will be found there. The hidden green lane, high up on a ridge between two fields, starting in the middle of the fields, finishing the same. Once a lane to marshwood. Now marshwood is only a vale and a wood. It's been lost. But it has high hedges to protect its secret, and a fine view to spy out the enemy. There, I'll dig in, wait and see. There.
A message is coming through, Herr Major.
Not Herr, Carl. I've told you, just Major. And always Keith Smith, even as now. Just as you are, Mr. Carl Mellows, my manservant, even now. We must live our parts.
Yes, Major. I will remember.
The message reads, report as to progress on our big game hunter. Revenge is necessary.
Progress? I shall let them know that I've obtained police cooperation.
Police cooperation? That is good.
As from yesterday, strictly unofficial. A detective inspector at Scotland Yard. We discovered he was a black shirt, so we watched him. He has to be paid, of course, but not too much.
And our Sir Ben has vanished into thin air.
For the moment, yes. There is no sign of him at his club, his solicitors, barber, tailor, and he is not at his country house. But I think he sent someone to buy things at the Army and Navy stores.
What was bought there?
Things for camping, warm clothing. An old soldier type of man purchased them, paying cash. I had an idea Sir Ben would want such things, but would not try to buy them himself.
This old soldier?
Untraceable. But our Englishman is going to ground.
Has to,
doesn't he? For it's not only ourselves who want to settle scores. The police would also like to find him. They are sure, I'm told, that he killed Frank. That the revolver was his, not Frank's. It was an English make, of course. I believe he will choose the county of Dorset to go to ground. It's the county he knows best. He will bury himself away like an animal that hibernates.
I understand. But, Major, he will have to come out for supplies and to see what is happening.
I agree. But will he be recognizable? He will have grown a beard, let his hair grow. He will look like an eccentric scholar. The police here have at last circulated a description of him to the West Country forces. They suggest he has a beard. There is also the eye. How does he disguise that? Or does he not bother?
Oh, someone will see him, and remember, they must.
Or he may become careless. So send Berlin a signal. Hope to report progress soon. Have police cooperation.
Now my burrow is livable in, I'm keeping this journal for my own amusement. 6 weeks ago, by dark, I found my secret lane. It's as I remembered it. For I came here a year or so ago with the woman I loved, and we found it together by chance. A deep sandstone cutting, overgrown at each end, flanked by high hedges along its 100-odd yards length. It lies between two pastures and looks out on two farms. It's not on any map. The motorcycle is hidden in a thicket at the bottom of the hill by a stream in which I've half-sunk the sidecar. The stream is tunneled over by the branches of trees along with briars and rushes. This burrow is built into the sandstone, and I'm still enlarging my living space. That's Asmodeus, a powerful half-wild tomcat, a rogue male, if ever there was, who has befriended me for bully beef. He makes his way in down one of the ventilators. I have named him Asmodeus because when he first appeared, he would watch me, take food from me, but always hissing and snarling and bristling his fur, the very essence of the evil Semitic spirit of mythology. Now, he is quite at home. I've grown a fine long beard, and my hair is a disgrace. I've been into the nearest town, Bemminster, for supplies on three occasions wearing the dark glasses, and no one has proved inquisitive. My story was that I was camping on the downs. I felt the lack of reading fodder, so I've written to Saul to send me some books, addressing them to Professor Fulsham at the Swan Road sub-post office in Lyme Regis. I scouted out this quiet shop on the outskirts of the town a little while ago. Now that the holiday season is over, I think it wise to give Bemminster a wide berth, whereas Lyme Regis has a number of visitors the year round. Dark glasses will no longer be necessary. My eye is no longer swollen. It only looks odd. Rather like a badly made glass eye. So, tomorrow, as the eccentric professor, I shall visit the little sub-post office for my books. I feel as safe as that.
Morning. What can I do for you, sir?
Has a parcel of books come for me? I asked for them to be sent here. Professor Fulsham is my name.
No, I don't remember no books coming. I'll have a look. I forgot to lift the blind, so I can't see a thing. Ah, that's better. No books, though. There's a letter, though.
Oh, thank you.
Here you are.
Could I have some Claire's Navy cup? What's the matter? Are you feeling unwell?
Don't you come no nearer. You keep your distance.
What the devil?
They're looking for you. The police are.
Damn and blast!
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You there, operator? Hurry up. Hurry up.
What number do you require, please?
I want the Lyme Regis police station. Quickly.
What is their number, caller?
I don't know it, do I? I'd have told you if I did.
Hold on, I'll look it up for you.
It's a matter of life and death. The London Tube Killer's on the loose.
Ringing.
They'll be having their morning tea break, I know.
Lyme Regis Police Station. Desk Sergeant here.
I've seen the bloke in the drawing in the papers.
Have you, madam?
The one you want to question about the London Tube murder.
Oh, yes, madam, do we? Who are you?
Mrs. Welch. Swan Road sub post office, you daft ignorant.
Oh, Mrs. Welch. Now, who is this man who you thought you knew?
I don't know him. I only saw him. He's got a funny eye and a long beard. Speaks like a gent. Says he's a Professor Fulsham.
Professor Fulsham?
That's what he calls himself. There was a letter here for him from London. He's the man wanted for questioning about that Aldgate Tube murder. Or was it Aldwych?
That one, was it?
Thank God the penny's dropped.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Welch. I'll inform the Chief Inspector. Which way did this man go? I mean, that may help to catch him.
Out the bloody shop door, of course. Catch him? You lot couldn't catch a cold.
Saul's letter was unsigned, of course. It told me that after the papers had published my description, Haddon in Dorchester told how he'd sold his motorcycle and sidecar to a man answering to the description. Then a couple of weeks back, the police issued a further description and a drawing of a man with a long beard, untidy hair, and dark glasses. I had been seen in Bemminster, and the police also mentioned that without the dark glasses, my damaged right eye would be obvious. They thought I might be living in the open on the Dorset Downs. I was feeling too safe, and the hunted animal must never feel safe. Today I managed to get back here by the skin of my teeth, and with the help of a car in which the owner had kindly left the keys. The area around my burrow is swarming with police. My motorcycle and sidecar are a worry. As soon as things grow quiet, I must have a look to see if they've been taken away. Now, however, I must lie low. I'm safe enough here, although I no longer feel it. But no police search party is likely to discover this burrow.
Found the car he took, Chief Inspector, but there weren't no sign of him.
Did you expect him to be at the wheel waiting? All right, go and join the others. And tell them to fan out across the fields.
Right, sir. Fan out now, across the fields.
Take a Sergeant Bly.
Yes, sir.
You know this area pretty well, don't you?
Grew up round here, sir.
And you reckon he's not hiding in any building?
The car engine was still warm, sir. He'd only have got to a couple of farms, and we've gone through them thorough-like.
Living in the open? Where, though?
Marsh wood, I'd say, sir. It's as thick as a jungle.
I'd need 50 men for 50 days to search it.
I'd say he's on the move, sir. Now winter's coming on, he'll be noticed in the countryside, and it's going to be cold living in the open. I think he'd go for a big town, sir, somewhere like Exeter or Weymouth, to lose himself in.
I'd say you were right, Bly. Let him finish wandering the vale, then call the search off.
Right, sir.
Get your things together, Carl. We're motoring to Lyme Regis.
Yes, Major. Where is that?
It's where our Englishman has been seen.
He is in Lyme Regis? Surely not.
Lyme Regis is on the coast. He's inland, somewhere high up, and dug in.
I'll pack my things, Major.
And Lyme Regis is near Bemminster, is it, Major?
Yes. We should have gone there last week. The police chased him from Lyme Regis into the countryside. And lost him, of course.
It was him, you believe?
He collected a letter from the post office addressed to Professor Foolsham. He said he was Foolsham. And there was such a professor who was at Oxford when our Englishman was there. The professor is now dead. Soon, I hope, our Englishman will join him.
He's dug himself a shelter, like a dugout.
More a badger's lair, I think, and it will not be easy to find. But there is the motorcycle and sidecar.
That which he bought in Dorchester.
And which he must have driven as near to his lair as he could, and then hidden. He will be anxious to know if the police found it when searching for him. They didn't look for it. We must.
I'm almost ready, Major.
You will stay in lodgings at Bemminster, Carl. I'll stay in a hotel at Lyme Regis, and we will search for his motorcycle and sidecar. When we find it, we will watch it at night.
I spied out the land today. All is quiet. I saw the two farmers about their farms. I've named them Pat and Patichon. Pat is a thin, miserable-looking lad. Patichon, the opposite, a chunky, red-faced old rascal with a loud laugh. I wonder if they sense that they have a stranger watching them. In the next day or so, I'll reconnoiter the spot where I left the motorcycle and sidecar. I don't think they will have been found. But to ease my mind... I'm seeing in the dark as well as any night creature. I'm now about halfway through this rough little wood. There was a glade, half circle of ground. Here. Yes. The bike is about here. Yes. The wheel handlebars not disturbed. Better check on the side guards the same. Go around the wood.
Ouch!
Sharp thorn brute. Now. Open ground for 20 yards and down to the cattle wallow. Here we are. Cattle wallow. Muddy stream. It's overhung with blackthorn, willow, hawthorn, so... Crouch down. In we go. God, let us go. Quietly. Quietly. About 30 yards... down from the wallow. Hard work is mud and water. Must be coming to it. Yes. I think I can see it. Yes. There it is. Hasn't been touched. That's a relief. Take a breather before getting back.
Sir Ben Barclay?
Heil Hitler. Carl. Carl.
I heard the shot.
The flashlight was on his heart. He must be dead.
Heil Hitler.
I think we should recover the body. There's a gap in the bushes about here.
Yes.
Oh, can you see the body, Carl? I'll shine the light across slowly.
No. I don't see it. I'll get into the stream, Major.
He fell back. I saw him.
He isn't in the stream. Wait, Major. There's a trail up the bank through the rushes.
It's impossible. I hit his heart. I saw the blood spread.
Perhaps he went into the meadow. Died there.
We can't search out there tonight. It's too open. We must return tomorrow. But he must have died. I hit his heart. I saw the blood spread.
His voice, saying my name softly, so astounded me that I couldn't move. A thin beam of light flashed on my face and dropped to my heart with a smashing blow. I was knocked backwards, unconscious for a second or so. I heard him saying, "Heil Hitler," as I came to. Then as I crawled up the bank, thinking I must be wounded but feeling no pain, I heard him calling, "Carl, Carl." I got to my feet and bolted for home. The shock of being so horribly ambushed left me shaking for an hour. I'm only alive by sheer fluke. The bullet from a 45 revolver had turned on the nickel of the flask in my breast pocket and came to rest, so I found later, in the fleshy part of my shoulder, so near the surface that I squeezed it out with my fingers. Keith Smith, I'm sure it was him, made the mistake of not examining his kill at once. For he had seen the bullet strike at the heart and watched the stain of whiskey spread, which, in the dark, looked like blood. The Almighty looks after the rogue male. My tracks from the stream up to this lane may be seen in daylight. I must conceal this burrow even more. Cover the door over. Use the chimney as entrance and exit.
He came up this way, all right.
Ah, his tracks are now too feeble to see.
Stop a moment. Let's see what we have in view. Directly above us is a hedge which seems to start in the middle of two fields and stop after about 100 meters.
That is so. And otherwise the fields are divided by barbed wire, as if at war.
From here it seems there are two hedges, not one. Try the glasses, Carl, see if you agree. Here.
Yes, you're right. It is a lane, not a hedge.
Get off my land, you up there!
Ah, the thin, sour-looking farmer.
So sorry, we were trying to find a shortcut back home.
You point some other way. Just get off my land or I'll have the law on you.
Trespass is a matter of civil law in England. He'd have to prosecute us, not the police.
A strange country.
I don't think that farmer is the man in whose house I'd choose to stay.
The other farmer, perhaps?
Quite different. He looks a bluff John Bull. I'll pay him a visit tomorrow and offer him generous terms for rough shooting on his land. I'm sure that somewhere on his land, somewhere in that lane, perhaps, our Englishman has gone to ground.
If he is still alive, Major.
There was no blood on his trail. My bullet must have been deflected. The cigarette case? Such things happened in the war. He is being a difficult man to kill. I shouldn't have been so sure. I should have shot again.
Off my land, you hear? Keep on!
I'd quite like to take a pot at you, you sour-faced idiot.
Watched by Asmodeus, I cleared the ends of the lane so it doesn't appear so secret. I did this at night. By day, I sleep and watch. Keeve Smith was dropped at Farmer Battershaw's today with his bags and his gun by his companion, Carl, I assume. A young, sturdy lad who drove the car away. Later, my would-be assassin and Patershaw were walking the field by my lane. I saw and heard them clearly.
I can't think why your neighbor wouldn't let his little bit of shooting.
Because he's a sour man, Major. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Does he shoot at all himself?
No. He ain't a man for fun. Don't bother with him, Major, for there's been nothing in the edge up here, not on his side nor on mine, all this year.
How's that?
Well, see for yourself. Neither bird nor beast.
It does seem deserted. Why?
A perishing cat. A big tom. Oh, I can't trap him, I can't shoot him. He's as fast as lightning.
Do you think he's watching us now?
Oh, more than likely. But he's cleared the edges all right.
The name Keeve Smith is a good choice. It suits him. He's tall, fair, slim, about my age, and could pass as a member of half a dozen nationalities according to the way he may cut his hair and trim his moustache. From what I heard, he speaks perfect English. Perhaps too perfect. Asmodeus. That's the second time these last days he's come down the chimney with a rush, crouched as he does now at the back of our den, untouchable, malignant. A sure sign that somebody is in the lane. By now I'm sure that Keith Smith has made his first exploration of the lane, and Carl also.
Are you comfortable here, Major?
Oh, I am, Carl. The farmer and his wife do their best for me.
I've walked the lane, Major.
And?
I can't see any trace of our Englishman's burrow, but it is hard to see into either hedge. There was a cat which vanished in a flash.
I know about the cat.
But you think you saw our Englishman by the lane?
Oh, perhaps. I was stiff from sitting in a hollow in the field. All afternoon I'd been watching for him. I saw the other farmer fetch his cows in, so I decided to go into his field. I got to my feet, and as I did, I saw a movement at the end of the lane. It was nothing but the most fleeting of movements. I raced up the hill, but there was nothing.
Would it have been the cat?
No, it was a larger movement, the movement of a man which vanished. I went down the lane itself, which is something I don't fancy doing.
You're at the mercy of anyone in that sunken lane, Major.
It's the perfect place to hide. He must be there.
How can we flush him out, Major?
We can't. It would attract attention. He must be weary of living like an animal in its den. I'm weary of hunting him. I think we must lure him out.
Yes, Major. How do we do that?
By ignoring him, not visiting the lane, not being seen around. Then perhaps he will think we've given up.
Yes, but he won't be sure.
So, to be sure, one way or the other, he will have to come here. By night, of course. And I'll see to it that I'm at the window. The farmer's dogs will tell me he's about. Then he'll have to run for it, and I'll wait for him to return to his lair.
I write with a shaded candle. A few days ago, Keeve Smith nearly caught me. I was prowling the hedge when he suddenly rose from a fold in the meadow. He raced up the hill, and I only made my burrow by seconds. Since then, he and Carl have been in the lane a number of times. I dare not leave the burrow, although it now stinks. Asmodeus visits for short inquiries, but I'm sure he won't stand the dirt and the stench for much longer. God knows, I'm weary beyond belief of this hunt. I feel that all my initiative is at an end. There is nothing I can do but wait. I endure without reason. My luck is at an end. I hope for nothing. I haven't moved from this burrow for 13 days. And for all this time, there's been nobody about, I'm quite sure. But my hearing is now so acute that I hear every movement in the lane. I've poked my head out of the chimney now and again, and seen that all around me is untouched. Asmodeus refuses to visit anymore. I can't blame him. Has my would-be assassin gone? I must find out. Must. Tonight, I'll steal down to the farm as best as my stiff limbs will let me. Oh, it's good to be in the air again. To move again. To smell the countryside smells and not those of my stinking lair. I've chosen a good night, by luck. No wind for once. Clear sky, but no moon. If I find Keith Smith is still there, I'll take to the open country again. The thought of returning to my burrow. No thanks. The farm is quite clear. Lights in some windows a few hundred yards below me. I dare not go down into the farmyard. Berrichon's dogs will scent me. Where? The old barn. If I can get onto its roof, then I should have a clear view into the living room. Try, anyway. Tiles don't feel too secure. But I'm on the roof. Dogs don't know. Up to the ridge. Now, over. Carefully. Hang on here. There's the living room. And at the window is Keeve Smith playing chess with Patachon's daughter, a pretty domestic scene. God rot his soul, God rot his furious soul and his parties, if it has one. With a rifle from here, I couldn't miss.
although he keeps his head close to the girl's. Damn that, blast him. What do I do? Something's moving. Bloody hell, the roof is caving in. Get me.
Some dogs, all right. Now, quiet now. Patch! Quiet, Darky! Quiet, I say!
I can't see signs of anyone. It's too damn dark. But look, see where my flashlight is.
Oh, the old beam's given in. Gone down proper. I'll be damned.
A pile of wood dust. Death Watch beetle, that's what it was. It only needed a little extra weight.
Yes, there was someone on the roof then, there were.
It does seem so.
That barn's been there 300 years. Now some beggaring, thievering murderer has to bring him down.
You'd better get in and let your wife and daughter know what went on.
What?
I'll scout around to see if I can find a trace of anyone. Don't wake up for me.
Last night, I completely lost my nerve. So when the roof of the barn caved in, I came back here like a frightened beast to its lair. A beast that didn't think, panicked. I should have stayed in the open. At least I went all over the place before I got back here. No one can possibly pick up my trail. Today has been quiet. No one in the lane. Listen. There is someone. Listen. Oh, my God. They're clearing the undergrowth. They found me. The door. Are they breaking in? Sure I can't get out. They're sealing me in. I'll break out. Where's my axe? Break out. Die in the open.
Can you hear me? Sir Ben? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You won't be able to break down the door.
How did you find me?
After the barn roof came down, I went up here to the lane. If it was you on the roof, I knew you'd not come straight back, so I waited for you. It was so simple that I was half afraid it was what you wanted me to do.
I wasn't going to kill you. I never meant to.
I counted on you leaving me alone. You would only have exchanged me for the police.
I had to see if you'd gone. You lured me out, didn't you?
I was beginning to believe that you'd gone, or were dead. But I thought if you were alive, you'd come looking for me.
And I damn well did. What are you going to do about me?
Tell me, the shot. Did it wound you?
Only superficially. A bullet hit my flask.
I wondered if it had.
Would have been a cleaner death than this.
My dear fellow, frankly, this situation is a difficult one.
Why? You guessed I was dug in somewhere, didn't you?
Of course. But I was hoping to catch you out in the open. I wasn't expecting this.
I'll be difficult to kill quietly in here, you mean?
I wasn't expecting this to happen.
You can't risk being seen if you try to smash this barrow up, and starving me to death will take months. So?
Now your death seems wholly unnecessary.
I'd say the only alternative was the zoo.
I'm afraid you wouldn't survive in captivity. If my superiors take my advice, you'll go free.
On what conditions?
Trifling, but we needn't go into that yet. Now, how are you off for food?
Reasonably well, thank you.
Nothing I can bring you from the farm?
I think not. Listen, Keith Smith, which isn't your real name, I'm sure.
It seemed to me to be a good name for the Englishman I am now, and it has the same two capital letters as my own name.
Has it? You won't get any more out of me than your Gestapo did with torture. And how can you stay here indefinitely? And what can you do?
I can stay here for months. Months, you understand? I and my companion are going to study the habits of the badger. We shall shortly install a camera.
He'll attract attention, even in these lonely parts.
I doubt it. Who comes near here? Only that disagreeable peasant who owns the field above your head, and I would like the opportunity to meet him on neutral ground.
It'll be a war of attrition, and I could see you off.
You can't get out, my dear fellow, without being shot. And we would have to shoot. We can, remember, block your ventilators and this chimney so you would have no air.
I've a lot of air in here. It's putrid, but air. Until I was well and truly unconscious, I'd dig upwards for air.
As I said, it's a difficult situation. We must stop talking now. My companion, Carl, will share the watch with me. He is young, strong, and a devoted member of our party.
Yes. Yes, I've had a good look at him from up here.
Of course. I guessed you were watching us coming and going. Now I must be off. Don't lose heart, my dear fellow. Your release will happen. Remain quite calm, that's all. Quite calm. Make yourself as comfortable as you can, Carl.
Yes, Major.
I'll relieve you at first light.
Remain calm. But he sounded weary. As weary as I am. I have to admire him, as much as I detest the party to which he belongs. He has courage, patience, intelligence, control. And he'll see the winter out if he has to. Whether I can live through a winter like this is unlikely. He will reason that out. Could I cut my way out through the sandstone into the field behind the lane? Could I work and breathe and work so quietly they wouldn't hear? I'll try it out while remaining calm. Cleared 6 inches in an hour. Cut, dug out, cleared. He doesn't know what weapon I have, or if I have anything. My mind isn't. Lack of air. I can't breathe. Dark here. There's a cloud swaying in the dark. Can't breathe. Can't cut. Dig.
Sir Ben? Sir Ben, can you hear me?
Yes, what? Where am I? Heads like lead.
Can you hear me, Sir Ben?
Yes, I can hear you. I passed out, unconscious.
Because you did not remain calm. You were digging. I could hear you digging.
Digging? Imagining things. Who are you?
I am Carl. I have a listening device of the sort they use in mining. It told me you were digging into the stone.
Damn you. I tried. No good, not enough air.
If you remain quiet and calm, there is plenty of air.
I'd rather take my chance in the open, Carl.
Yes, I understand that. Don't move quickly. Remain as still as you can. Then you'll recover.
Hard to sit up.
Did the wild cat visit you?
Yes. Called Asmodeus. He gave up. The stench down here. I want to give up.
Now he visits me. I think for food.
Well, why don't you break down the door?
We don't want you to die now.
I've a large sum of money on me.
You know I can't be bribed, so why try?
My mind's fuzzed. I want to sleep.
No! Listen to me. Get beneath the chimney. Do that, I will pass you down a drink. Move now!
Yes, I'll move. Try, yes.
Good evening, my dear fellow. Carl tells me you were foolishly busy all day.
Not all day, 1 hour. And it was useless.
You shouldn't have bothered. We'll have you out of here in no time. Free to go home. I'm very glad, my dear fellow. I've great respect for you, you know.
Have you? Can you, considering the party you belong to?
I'll tell you what I respect in you. It's this. You have no need of any law but your own.
You would, of course, see it like that. Let's get to the point, shall we? If I'm to go free, what are the terms?
I have them here for you to sign. There is only one serious restriction. You must undertake not to leave England. If you come onto our soil again, we shall show you no mercy.
Let me have your terms and a torch to read them by.
I have both here. I'll lower them down.
Thank you. I, Sir Ben, do confess that on I attempted to assassinate the Führer at Berchtesgaden with the knowledge of the government of Great Britain. And I agree to stay on English soil.
You'll see we have witnessed it, as has a reputable London lawyer.
So I see, and before I've signed. I can't sign this, Keeve Smith. Have it back, and your torch.
I don't understand you, my dear fellow. I mean, since you don't believe in anything but yourself, why not sign?
I believe in many things beyond myself, and I don't sign lies.
You're a good Englishman, so you should know that truth is always relative. Sincerity is what matters. Are you listening?
I'm hearing you.
Ah, yes. Then let us deal with practical things. Why, for instance, did you attempt this assassination?
I wanted to see if it was possible.
And you really did mean to shoot?
Yes, of course I meant to, and would have, if that young soldier hadn't turned back.
Did you think such an assassination would settle something?
It often has. Read your history.
I can't believe you didn't talk it over with someone.
No, it was all my own idea.
Who would believe you? You have friends in high places. If you had pulled the trigger and we had hushed things up, would you have told your highly placed friends what you knew?
I probably would have said what I suspected, that the Führer was dead. I wouldn't have said how I knew.
They may have guessed, knowing you.
It would be a wild guess.
Yes. Who would believe a sporting assassination?
I shouldn't want anyone to believe me.
No, you're a law unto yourself. I find it incredible, you know, that you hate us to such a degree. It sounds as if you had a personal grudge against the Führer. Had you?
In a way, yes.
In what way, Sir Ben?
He is the head of a state which caught and shot a woman I knew.
A woman you knew?
We came here together a year or two ago.
So, you decided to shoot the Führer? For love? For love? You are a law unto yourself.
I'm not saying another word. You better tell your people that I'm not signing anything. And then get on with the business of trying to kill me.
Yes. Well, we shall see.
How long? 5 days? 7? Drifting in and out of consciousness, preparing to die.
they leave me alone, but oh, can you hear me? I say I can. Make sure I'm alive. Are they there now? Must be. Listen.
He's more curious now than afraid. I've stopped his curiosity.
A shot? What at? They find something funny?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I've something for you. Dropping it down now.
Thank you. God, what? Blood, carcass. It's you, Asmodeus, you poor old boy. You were beginning to trust them when they shot you.
Why, for God's sake?
Was he your last living friend, my dear fellow?
The old bastard, God rot your soul.
I hope he'll not smell too badly as he decomposes.
I won't notice, the stench down here is such... But a killer cat just to annoy me. You... bastard.
You've only yourself to blame. Tomorrow evening, perhaps, you won't be too proud to talk to me. Good night. Good night, Carl. I think our siege is coming to an end.
Good night, Major. I hope so.
I'm not taking this anymore. Not waiting for death. Killing Asmodeus has done the trick. You've condemned yourself to death, Keith Smith. If your cat spirit, Asmodeus, can hear my thoughts in the way you heard them in life... Let me tell you that your death has released me from my own death. Make me stand up and fight. Keith Smith will be back in 24 hours for our evening chat. I think I know how I'll revenge you. And your strong old carcass will play its part. What I must make is a crude but effective model of a hand-drawn ballista for Roman's artillery. Like a crossbow, Asmodeus. Which will fire the iron spit I bought for prizing open the sandstone. It will be propelled by your tough hide, twisted and pegged into place. So, quietly, let me make the machine of our revenge. It's growing dark, and Carl will come on duty in 10 minutes or so. Keith Smith at any moment will put his head to the chimney opening for a chat or to say, can you hear me? So, on my back, beneath the ballista. Now, right. Feet on the frame. Brace myself. Grip the thong. Spit is in the center? Yes. Pull back to my chest. Check. Aim seems perfect. Wait until the white blob of his face appears. Relax. Remain calm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So, we are talking tonight, are we?
Got him. My God, I got him. The surprise in his eyes. Slap in the forehead. Over he went. Up we come. Up. And into the cold, clear air. Oh, I feel drunk. Out of my burrow for the last time. There he is. Head raised. The spit went right through his skull and out of the other side. Where's his revolver? Here we are. Loaded? Yes, 6 chambers. Bullets. Here, money belt, also gold coins. Papers. That's the thing I was meant to sign. Passport, yes. 2 of them. Take them both. I could do with his clothes. Riding breeches, high boots, trench coat, shooting jacket. Off him and on me. Wait for Carl.
A cold but fine night, Major.
A fine night, Carl.
I'm a minute late, Major.
Stay there, Carl, in the light.
My God!
Throw your revolver down at my feet. Don't try anything foolish. I have the Major's revolver, and it's pointing at your heart.
Major? Here's my revolver.
Thank you. The Major is dead.
It isn't
Morgulis, how did you...
I achieved the impossible. See for yourself.
There's an iron bar.
An iron spit. I shot it at him when his head was at the chimney.
It isn't possible. How?
I made a model ballista, the Roman legion's artillery.
Like a crossbow. Yes?
That's right. And I couldn't have done so if you hadn't killed the cat.
So you could make the sling. I understand. You will now shoot me, will you?
Not unless you make me.
We should not have killed the cat. The Major was losing patience. He was becoming angry with you.
I was almost beaten. Ready almost to sign anything. If I had signed that confession, would he have shot me?
He didn't say. But yes, I think so. But he did say that he wondered if you were not impossible to kill.
No. It would have been easy if he hadn't killed Asmodeus.
The rogue male cat, yes.
Yes. Before we leave here, you will put the Major into the burrow and cover the chimney.
Of course. What else have I to do?
Have you a passport on you?
Yes. It is here.
Thanks. Once you have done what I say, I'll hand it back to you. You have no real choice, Carl. We can go to the police together, or...
I help you leave England?
Yes. And when you've done that, I'll hand you back your passport and the gold coins the Major had on him. And you can return to your country.
It may be better if I do not.
You have the car?
It is where you hid your sidecar.
We'll go down to the farmhouse where you will tell the farmer that the Major has been suddenly called away. I'm sure he said he might be.
Yes, at any time.
I will give you the money to pay what is owed, collect his things, then drive me to your lodgings so I can get cleaned up. Once that's done, I will take the car and give you back your passport. And the gold coins.
So, my dear Saul, Carl was as good as the gold I gave him, and I sailed from Liverpool 2 days later using Keeve Smith's passport in the name of Quilter Symes, and looking decently like him. I had to bleach my hair, of course. Now I live as his alter ego in this strange country.
I'll drop you a line from time to time. I'm planning to have another shot at my target, but this time among the chimney pots, not in the open country. I'll not get away alive, but I'll not miss this time. That is, unless war breaks out and foils my plan and brings me back to England.
Simon Cadell was Sir Ben, and David Googe was Major Keeve Smith in Rogue Mail. Carl was Ian Mickey, the Colonel, Christopher Scott, the Police Chief, Geoffrey Whitehead, Fisher, David Rose, Vayner, Philip Sully, Saul, Leslie Heritage, Peel, Ian Target, Tom, Jonathan Scott, Mrs. Welks, Isanne Churchman, Patachon, Manning Wilson, the Barmaid, Susan Sheridan, and Mrs. Erskine was Joan Matheson. Geoffrey Household's novel was dramatized for radio by Frederick Bratton, and directed by Graham Gould.